Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
All these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic and of The Forest right now. I am Mark Grody of 104.3, the score, the Raheemy Harrison Grody Show. We talk Bears together. Dan, what is going on with your backdrop? If people are watching on video, they're going to want to know why you are in a forest right now.
Yeah, there's a story behind this, and I guess you're forcing me to tell it right out of the jump. Sorry. At which point, I will force you to tell the story about your Golden Tee t-shirt in a minute. Essentially, as you know, as some of our listeners probably know, there's some home renovations going on at the Wiederer household, and so I am displaced every day at this time of year. I don't have house hall to work at, and my plan today was to set up shop in an undisclosed hotel lobby, which is something I do from time to time to get my work environment down. Ultimately, I drove to the hotel that I was going to be working from today and got a text from my son that he forgot his baseball bag in the back seat of my car. And so now I had to drive this over to my mother-in-law so she could deliver it to him for his game this evening, at which point I just decided to use my mother-in-law's backyard as the backdrop for today's podcast. Great story, isn't it?
Yeah, that does not fit my agenda at all. That is not particularly interesting.
No.
As a matter of fact, you're probably stressing out other parents who have had similar. Oh, my kid has left his stuff in the car a million times. But we will, make no mistake, we'll get to the Glenview Patriots a little bit later on in this podcast, okay?
No doubt. It's summertime. It's the best time to get to them. We've got nothing else to talk about, so we'll regale our people with stupid tales from the diamond.
In the meantime, in between time, there has been yet another disturbance in the force as it pertains to the Bears stadium search and where it will land. And these are kind of things that we knew. It's just coming to the forefront a little bit more and with a little bit more authority and a little bit more realness. And that is what I am seeing and what we are seeing in Politico. Per Politico, discussions between the Bears and Illinois officials are going on behind the scenes with, and here's maybe the new part or the new nugget, Dan, and that is that there is some expectancy of potential clarity on what I don't know, but by Wednesday, things could start to get a little bit interesting. And the Bears, and here's the other part too that might be new as well, or at least being brought to the forefront, new to me. The Bears have been asked to identify precisely what legislative language it wants, and they are said to be drafting their own idea and their own language of what it is they want and desire, that per Politico as well. So a couple of slightly new things injected into this stadium story, which is all of a sudden centered in Illinois again.
It's funny. I was going back through an exercise I like to do before training camp is kind of go review everything that was said at any point during a Bears offseason to just kind of figure out, did I miss something? Do I need to dive a little deeper on something? And I was pulling up the owners' meetings quotes from George McCaskey, who put the moratorium on using football analogies and then promptly used a football analogy to say this stadium hunt is sort of like a game where there's ebbs and flows. One team's ahead, the momentum shifts a different direction, and then another team's ahead, and then the momentum shifts another direction. This is another shift in momentum, Grody. I think it was a week and a half ago when the Bears put out the statement about advancing their efforts in Hammond, Indiana. Once everybody took a deep breath and realized this was essentially a challenge to Illinois lawmakers to, you know, what's your next move? How are you going to help to keep us here in Illinois? We were expecting something. And now it seems like some of that something is starting to occur. I think what we've heard in the last is, I don't even know if it's 2.5 weeks or a week and a half now, but in recent days is that the Illinois legislation is not going to call a special session unless a special session is going to result in something. And so all of this sort of behind the scenes work is necessary for them to ultimately get to where they want to go. And it's kind of my understanding from listening and from some people I'm talking to that Illinois lawmakers are not really willing to let this get all the way to November. And so the next step in the process is, okay, so how do we get this done before then? The part of this that you're talking about here is getting together with the Bears, trying to find out what their very specific asks are, and then trying to massage those into some sort of bill, law that will help them get the stadium off the ground in Arlington Heights, which we all assumed for a long time is the preferred destination.
Well, let's listen to some fresh audio. And this comes from a guy that we have been listening to, and we played some on our podcast throughout this entire process, State Representative Cam Buckner. He was on the Mully and Haw show on Tuesday morning. And this is his reaction to the Bears crafting language. And as you just brought up, Dan, whether it would lead to that special session.
I've been clear even since the Hammond announcement, quote unquote, that there were still conversations going on between the organization and the state of Illinois. And those conversations do continue. I think if you go back and you look at what they said a few weeks ago, it wasn't anything that was conclusive, right? They didn't say we're done here, we're moving forward. And so those conversations have continued and they've continued in earnest. There's been calls for a special session, but as Governor Pritzker said in your bumper segment, that we've got to be able to agree on a deal before we call a special session. That has to happen first. But we got some time to figure that out and to get there, right? And so I think that we are moving in the right direction. The new report is that the Bears are working on their own piece of legislation for this, which I think makes all the sense in the world. You guys know in a former life I did government affairs for the Chicago Cubs during the Wrigley Field renovation project. And we didn't ask the city council to give us a plan. We brought a plan to them. And some things they said yes to, other things they said no to, and we worked our way through it. But that's the way this thing works. And so I think we're in a good kind of portion of this conversation.
Good stuff from Cam Buckner, as always. It's just so funny. Like when I think back to, as he put it, the quote unquote Hammond announcement, it was almost simultaneously met with, we're still talking to Illinois. And it's amazing because there's been so little focus on Indiana since they announced that they were moving forward with it. All of the talk in the background, some of it has been brought to the forefront, some of it hasn't, has been back about Illinois. And that just confirms it even further with Cam Buckner. And the truth of the matter is, if this language that is drafted by the Bears is likable on all sides, there will be a special session if they know it's a slam dunk and they can agree on it. I am not necessarily predicting that that's going to happen, but that is plausible.
And I think in that same interview with Mully and Haw, great job by them of getting some good meat into the discussion. Cam Buckner mentioned August as a month where legislatures would be back down in Springfield for the state fair. It would offer them a very convenient opportunity. Politicians love convenience, don't they, Grody? To call a special session, get in there, get something passed, and get this project moving in the right direction. And so that's a new sort of month on the timeline. We had from Kevin Warren back in the spring. Late spring, early summer. Well, guess what? We just crossed that bridge from late spring into early summer over the weekend. We are in early summer here. I think we may be moving back towards end of summer to get resolution to this. And, that would be an interesting sort of save the date to put on your calendar. The state fair, go get a deep fried Oreo with a corn dog, and then maybe you get yourself some legislation for the Bears as well.
Maybe catch Def Leppard or Bon Jovi or whoever.
Pat Benatar, she's got to be there, right? Yeah.
Was it Beyonce that you were singing right before we came on the air?
I might have been Salt and Peppa.
Oh, he was Salt and Peppa. Yeah. I thought I was hearing you talk about all the single ladies. I think that was a lyric in what you were singing, but it was Salt and Peppa, maybe.
Yeah. And we don't have to go into what I sing off the air, Grody, but that's I'm proud of both of us for properly saying Salt and Peppa.
Yeah.
You said it, I said it.
Salt and Pepper just doesn't sound quite right. And Dan,
by the way, Push It was on my short list of karaoke tunes back in the day.
Oh, man, that's a bad. I remember driving to high school, listening to that song, driving down Roselle Road or Irving Park Road, going to Lake Park High School and bouncing that song and feeling pretty cool about myself.
Yeah, get a mic in front of a karaoke group when you're like late 20s, early 30s. You can turn it upside down pretty quick.
Oh, my God. And by the way, you are wrong, Dan. I am absolutely entitled to discuss whatever you are singing, whatever bands you are bringing up. I will bring it up on the air. That is absolutely something that I am entitled to do.
Fine.
Dan, there are a couple other, there's another part to this story. I don't know if you want to hear it. I don't know if the people listening or watching want to hear it, but there are more alternative stadium sites suddenly being floated again. I'm just going to read this from Politico. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Alternatives are also being floated by Illinois lawmakers and local officials. State Representative Curtis Tarver II of Chicago has entered the debate with a provocative idea. Stop concentrating on the downtown lakefront. Instead, pair a Bears stadium with the massive redevelopment unfolding on the former Southworks site on the southeast side. The Bears should look seriously at the Southworks Quantum District and the surrounding southeast side, Tarver wrote in an opinion piece, arguing that the area offers, quote, a chance to build something bigger than another stadium deal. Last graph here. Tarver envisions a development corridor linking the Obama Presidential Center, the Museum of Science and Industry, the Illinois Quantum and Microelectronics Park, a new Advocate Health Hospital, and the Bears Stadium. His broader point, Chicago's next transformational investment shouldn't automatically default to the same neighborhood they have historically received the most attention. So again, the Southworks Quantum District, that's it, close quote, by the way, but the South is me now. The Southworks Quantum District, about 10 miles south of the loop, the far southeast side, the what used to be formerly the U.S. Steel Southworks, if that helps anybody. I like hearing all those things. It's very nice. And I like the idea of a campus of all those great institutions. The Obama Library looks like it's something, man.
Yeah.
But no. It's a nice idea, but that's way too that would take way too long at this point to get anything realistically done there.
We're done taking ideas. We are done taking ideas. Can we just get that through everyone's head? The ideas are done being taken.
That's really what it is. That's really the truth right there. Like, thank you. Great idea. Maybe like it. Love you. I'd talk to you more. I'd even have a cup of coffee with you. But no, we're just not taking more ideas.
I did have to look at my roster for a minute because I thought Curtis Tarver II was an undrafted safety out of UConn. But as a matter of fact, he is someone that is introducing new sites into the possibility mix. Looks, this whole process, Grody, you know, like the more you just sort of zoom out from it, when you get an opportunity to zoom out from it, it's too many people making too many things too complicated. You know what I mean? And I know there's like this whole thing, oh, this is just what happens. And, you know, the Vikings, they had a look at five sites before they finally found their home in downtown Minneapolis, right where their old home was. And the Raiders had to go here and there or whatever. There's just too many people making too many things too complicated in this saga. And it's time right now for people to just get the blinders on and focus, right? Like just focus and figure out what the actual target is. Everybody's got different targets. I get that's why it gets complicated, but I just can't take any more introduction. How many have we made a list of places that have been suggested as possible sites since the opening of this whole thing?
It's got to be 10 12? To 15.
Yeah. I guess a dozen. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, there's a McCook popped up as well. McCook, which is 14 miles
that?
Southwest of Chicago. Yeah, what is
McCook? I actually don't know what that is. Tell me what McCook is.
McCook is a town 14 miles southwest of Chicago, an industrial town with lots of space and stuff. Sort of like Northwest Indiana, quite frankly.
Yeah, I know nothing about McCook. Maybe I need to do some.
That's all I know. Just that what I just said is what I read about McCook. So they want to be considered as well. Something important too that we need to point out, because you brought up the Illinois State Fair. I'm being told by our executive producer Adam Studzinski, Matchbox 20, oh, Wiz Khalifa, Shinedown are among the bands that will be at the state fair this year. Does a Dan Weider rock to, like, are you getting down with 3 a.m. by Matchbox 20? Is that where you go?
I wonder what it's like to be the rainmaker. I wonder what it's like to know that I made the rain. Not at the top of my list, but I won't turn my nose up to it. Rob Thomas did some decent stuff on single too. Like, you know, I don't know that I ever owned a Matchbox 20 CD, but if it was on, you know, I didn't switch the station.
Rob Thomas with Santana was pretty sick, actually. Okay. I thought that gave him some credibility. Wiz Khalifa, "We Them Boys" will always remind me of the 2016 Chicago Cubs, like, because that's about when that song was popular and just banging home runs out of Wrigley Field, and they would bounce that song every once in a while. I think I might like Shinedown, but honestly, I can't think of, like, if I heard Shinedown songs, I would know them, but I can't, like, sit here and tell you what Shinedown does. But
I've got nothing for you on that front. I really don't have anything for you. Ever been to a concert at the State Fair?
Yeah, actually, I saw Def Leppard. So I used to work in Springfield. I worked in Springfield, Illinois for 2 years as a news reporter, and one of the huge news events was covering the State Fair. So I've probably seen other acts other than Def Leppard, but that's the one that I remember in my time in downstate Illinois.
Is there enough property down there to maybe put a Bears stadium in Springfield?
Ooh, I think there's plenty of room right there on the State Fairgrounds.
New idea presented.
They can move the State Fair to Chicago. How about that?
I'm glad you guys are on this topic. There is definitely enough room on those State Fairgrounds to put a stadium.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, the fairgrounds are huge.
Oh,
like,
I know. We had to drive around in a golf cart, man. I was a youngin' then. And it was like, I can't do this. This is 50,000 steps a day. I'm a news reporter. I got to find out what they're frying up and putting on a stick.
Right.
If you're going to walk from one end of the State Fair where the grandstand is to the other major entrance on the other side, I mean, it's got to be a mile and a half, maybe. Like, it's quite the walk.
You're right. Studs, I bet have you been to as a downstate Illinoiser yourself? Were you a regular to the State Fair?
I used to go every year. I used to multiple days every year. Yeah. And I actually took my now wife there a few years ago. She'd never been. And I was like, oh, we got to go. And she loved it. And I loved it because it was the exact same layout. Like, everything's exactly the same. Like, it hasn't changed.
That's amazing.
In 40 years.
That's great to hear, man.
I was like, I know where this is. I know where this is. I know where this is.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's so anyway, amazing. There's your State Fair talk.
Thank you, Adam Stasinski. We appreciate it. Something was confirmed here, Dan, that you had been talking about a lot on Take the North, and that is the Bears have officially added a second joint practice. We knew that they were going to have the joint practice on August 20 with the Cincinnati Bengals, and now they have officially announced within the last few days that on August 27th, as you had anticipated, the Bears will do a joint practice with Tennessee. I love these things, man. It's what training camp needs, because we don't need to hear, as we do every year, we're getting sick and tired of hitting each other. There you go. There's an opportunity to hit somebody else. And we know, especially from last year, the Bears liked hitting in the joint practice, especially against Miami. But what do you think about having two joint practices, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, this has really mushroomed to life in the last 5 years or so, as teams have put less and less emphasis on the actual preseason games and have tried to get more controlled work with a lot of competition in these joint practices that are scheduled. And so I think it's great that they've made a way to make two of these happen. Look, like, in contrast to last year, both of these will be on the road. So I think it will give the Bears an opportunity to get away for a little bit and test their sort of their harmony, their camaraderie as they go into these processes, and then just go into an unfamiliar environment and try to compete. And so I did think that those practices last summer were tone setting, particularly for a new coach trying to get his team to understand exactly what he was about. And the Bears answered. You know, they answered in those practices last year with the Dolphins, who they clearly rattled with how competitive and tenacious they were in that practice. And then they saw what life against the Bills was like too. And I think that gave them an idea of, like, okay, this is high quality football and this is what it takes to compete. And so those were really valuable. I think these will be really valuable. And for me, I get to go to Nashville in late August. So that's not a bad thing either.
No, that's great. It was last year in the Miami joint practice, which was in Lake Forest. It was Miami offensive lineman Aaron Brewer, who referred to the Bears as having had fake physicality, claiming the Bears defenders were tackling to the ground as if it was a real game. You know what that sounds like to me? Ben Johnson. And so I guess guilty as charged, probably, the Bears were.
Well, don't forget, I had put this in one of my Ben Johnson stories before last season, that the morning, I think it was the morning of that particular practice, he had put the TVs on a loop with a clip that he had shown the night before in the team meeting of an MMA fighter getting like a 4-second knockout. you know, and it was like, this is what we want to do. We want to come right off the cage, kick these guys in the nose, and just end it for them. And this is a joint practice. You know what I mean? The Dolphins came in here probably thinking, oh, controlled environment. We're just going to kind of go through the paces, play a little patty cake, get on a bus, go get some dinner and go home, you know? And it was like, no, like this is an introduction to Ben Johnson. If it is happening, it is important, right? And if it is important, he's going to dump a whole ton of passion and kerosene on the damn thing. And that's what happened last year, and I'd expect the same in these sessions in August.
I hope those teams, Cincinnati and Tennessee, know what's coming off the bus those days when Ben Johnson leads his team into those particular venues. I think back to 2023 as well in Westfield, Indiana against the Colts. Two things stood out to me there. Getting to see Anthony Richardson, because that was his rookie camp, and I remember being impressed, wanting to be impressed by him, maybe projecting that a little bit on Anthony Richardson. And then I had to go back and refresh on this one, but it was there that we learned that Tevin Jenkins, after one of the joint practices, hurt his knee and he missed the first part of the regular season, and kind of a surprise to us when he revealed that information, if I remember correctly.
I think you are remembering that correctly, because I believe the night before I had asked Tevin Jenkins a question about, isn't it amazing that you've made it this deep into training camp without a setback? And I was getting ready to write that, like, Tevin Jenkins, this is the longest he's lasted in training camp. And then the next thing, you know, he was injured. Those were back-to-back nights. I like those nights settings too, down in Westfield, Indiana, because there was liveliness in the crowd, right? Like that setting there that they put out there, that brought those things to life.
It was great.
Another lasting memory I have from that is, as you know, when quarterbacks throw interceptions in training camp, the social media team always takes out the quarterback. You only see the interception because they don't want you to know their quarterback threw an interception. Well, joint practices, the other team shows you the quarterback who threw the interception. So I remember the Colts had a clip of a Justin Fields interception. And you know, every time a quarterback throws an interception in training camp, the supporters are always like, well, they're encouraging him to throw interceptions. They want him to try some things. And I was like, okay, go watch the Colts social media feed, because the Bears coaches do not want Justin trying, jumping both feet off the ground in a sea of bodies and throwing a hook shot over the middle. I think it was EJ Speed, the linebacker, picked it off, and the Colts social media feed had a very nice view of like, oh God, that was not that was not the decision you want to make.
So interesting things happen in the joint practices. So hopefully we'll get more of that. I also remember too, and this fits in perfectly with one of the great Chicago broadcasters that we recently lost. I don't even know if you know this or not, Dan, but for a couple of years, sort of intermittently, I was the Bears correspondent on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast with Mark Schanowski and the great Stacey King, whom we recently lost, unfortunately and sadly. But that was my first appearance on that particular program. And I remember being on Zoom with those guys and walking the sidelines and showing the stuff, and Stacey King getting all crazy and telling me who's good and who's bad. And he had his hot takes on the Bears too. So a good way to shout out the Stacey King family and all his friends, because I know that had to have hit you too, Dan. I mean, we all grew up here. We all grew up, or Dan and I in particular grew up here. We know the whole Stacey King arc.
Yeah, the 90s Bulls, man. I mean, it's like it's a period in life, right? Like it's a real thing. And like I've had these conversations recently about how the parades were – it was just annual, right? Like you just counted on there being a parade in June down at the Petrillo Bandshell that downtown. And 6 out of 8 years there were, and Stacey King was obviously part of several of those and a big part of that first run by the Bulls. And it's a really sad story to hear of his passing recently.
Still shocking. Still has not really sunk in for me. He's one of those guys who is like so full of life that you don't consider the possibility of somebody like that dying. But his memory will last, and the references will go on with Stacey King. A couple more things here. I informed you guys, or I sent you guys a Instagram story today, which popped up on my feed recently, and it was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. Luther Burden and Colston Loveland recently attended a youth football camp in Rosemont, Illinois. So when Luther Burden was kind of addressing the kids and having fun with the kids and high-fiving the kids, there was one child who asked if Luther Burden could FaceTime Caleb Williams. So Burden obliged, and he called Caleb. Caleb picked up. I mean, that's key, man. You never know if somebody's going to pick up in life. The kids, you saw the video. The kids go absolutely bananas. There's an eruption. There's this innocent, very organic, very natural, childlike reaction that I'm sure you and I at that age, I mean, these kids are probably between 9 and 12 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, what I'm almost as a, I was almost jealous that they're getting to experience that emotion of an absolute superstar in their eyes, Caleb Williams talking to these kids on FaceTime, and it was just a blast to watch.
Yeah, I mean, so cool, right? And like, these are the types of moments that can come to life when you are part of a winning, successful organization, right? Like when you're 6-11, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, starting quarterback. So he's on FaceTime. You know what I mean? Now it's like everyone's alive. They're really feeling the momentum that this team had at the end of last season. And you feel like, again, as we've talked about many times, a window is open for some special things ahead. And when those special things occur, it just opens up the world for more special things that happen outside the football arena. This is a great example of just a lot of people having fun with the moment. And hopefully the Bears can do what they haven't been able to do, certainly since we've started this podcast, and really probably since you and I were in high school, and that's string together three consecutive winning seasons, which takes a second consecutive winning season first.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that is the case and the Bears do damage, you're going to see much more of this Bearsness and the fun stuff out in the public, and like the slow takeover of the Bears again, a la the 1980s Bears, and maybe even those Briggs Urlacher Bears of the I don't know how you, the 2000s, I guess.
The 2000s.
Yeah. Last thing here. Let's exit football field completely. Get me on to the diamond. I teased it early in the podcast. What is going on with the Glenview Patriots? Your son plays for the Glenview Patriots. You've managed the Glenview Patriots, but now you're just a baseball dad. But I understand. I think I read something in a paper about something big happening with the Glenview Patriots.
And by the paper, you mean the text thread where I bring all the exploits. But they won. The 13 red Glenview Patriots over the weekend won the Deerfield Wooden Bat Tournament. It was a six-game run to the championship. And really, three games on Father's Day, Grody. They had to move them up because of the weather. As you know, it rained for most of Sunday. So we had to start at 8. 8, 10, 12, 15 were the game times for those three games. And after, really strong performances on Friday and Saturday, just blitzed through Sunday and won three games by really convincing margins. And it was really cool to watch. Former coach and a dad, the momentum that gets built is cool. And the defense that was played, like, that's not something that happens a lot in the youth baseball ranks. But I'll give you one scenario. Semifinal game, we were up 3-2. Deerfield had the bases loaded, nobody out. And we got back-to-back ground balls with four force plays at home where our catcher actually made good catches to pick the ball and ended up getting out of that inning without giving up a run. That doesn't happen a lot at this level or the younger levels as well. So that was cool. And then the footnote for me on Saturday, my son went a complete game. It was a shortened game because we won convincingly, but threw a no-hitter. Threw a no-hitter on Saturday afternoon. And that was kind of fun to see. Again, it was four-inning game because of the slaughter rule, but cool. Cool to see, again, him pitch well and then get a bunch of defense behind him, which every pitcher loves a good defense behind you.
Oh, well, that's great. Congratulations to Ryan and the mighty Glenview Patriots. May the big stories continue to come and the big slash stories. And you're resisting taking over as the coach of the team, even though I know you want it. I know how bad you want it, man.
So I did get called in for one game. Our coach couldn't be there, and I got called in for one game about 3 weeks ago. We never talked about it. It was good to be back in the dugout. I felt the juice there. It was like, you know, it was like there was just something going, and you got in there, and you're like, oh, I love this. I like being in here.
Oh, man. That's
and we won. And we won convincingly in that game, too. Don't think I didn't make that very well known to the head coach when he came back.
And then you had all your get down on one knee conversations with the kids. You got to fill up all the stuff that you've been noting throughout the season. You're like, this is what these kids need to know. Papa Weeder are doing a great job out there. Would you, by the way, before we get out of here, if somebody was to offer you a ticket to go see Beyonce, like at Soldier Field, would you go see Beyonce?
A free ticket?
Yeah.
Why would you not?
Right. She's a spectacle. You don't have to necessarily like all her stuff.
musical icon puts on a great show. I don't know why you would turn that down. Now right. would I pay SeatGeek prices for that? Probably not. No, I'll listen to somebody that went tell me all about how cool it was. If that's absolutely the case.
Hey man, you never know. Big Pimpin' will walk out there too. You know, Jay-Z could be lurking in the background. You know,
there's no question. So yeah, you got to be there for that. These types of concerts will be coming to a stadium in McCook in not too long future.
And that perfectly will do it for this episode of the Take the North podcast. For that guy, Dan Weider, we got to get him out of the forest. He writes for The Athletic. You should read him in The Athletic. For our Illinois State Fair-going executive producer, Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Grody of Rahimi Harris and Grody on 104.3 The Score, saying thank you so much for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Bears.